You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. Public holiday, or rather bank holiday, as the British call it, in Britain, apart from Scotland. And so therefore the JSE is very quiet. We've also got Labour Day weekend coming up, David, and people are really gone from Thursday afternoon and they go off, and it's a big driving weekend, and it signals the end of the US summer. Traditionally, that's the theory anyway. The first Monday in September is always Labour Day, and that's the end of it. And everyone comes back from the Hamptons or wherever they go, and we can start getting busy again. It's been an interesting summer, and it was an interesting Friday in Jackson Hole, wasn't it?
It was. I listened to the talk, I listened to the speech and the subsequent discussions, and it's interesting to see how he changed course. What I liked about it and what I'm picking up on, and it's something we've said for a long time in discussions, that nobody really knew what was going on. And I think for the first time they've admitted, we didn't really know what we were doing. I'm putting it into my own words in a rather crude or form. But I think they fiddled. And I think what's happening now is that they've got to go back and say, you know, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What can we learn from it? But I think the message that everybody's taking, of course, is that, you know, rates will start to come down. And the discussions now are, is it 25 points? Is it 50 points? You know, how long is it going to go? I would reckon another, you know, consistently down for another, two full percentage points. That's 200 points, you know, down. And we'll see from there. Lindsay, it doesn't mean everything's out the woods. You know, you still got to work out how the economies are operating, how they're functioning, and what this means. You know, does it kickstart the economy? Does it improve economy? Does it pick up things? You know, that's going to be the next discussion. So,
I think one of the things he said, and again, in my words, not his, I think he said the economy is still strong, which is very encouraging, but the labour market and inflation's under control. He said the risk to the upside haven't gone, but they're not as pronounced as they were. And he said that the labour market, and there was one other said, I can't remember which indicator it was, but anyway, certainly the labour market showing signs of weakness, and so that is almost justifying his decision to definitely cut on September the 18th. But as you quite rightly say, the point is 25 or 50. Knowing Powell, it's going to be 25, I think.
Yeah. I think they'll take it slow, unless something really dramatic happens with the employment numbers, which I don't think is going to happen. So, look, markets are going to drift. We're now going to look for something to latch onto. It's going to be either the U.S. election, or it's going to be the wars in Middle East and in Ukraine. It's going to be earnings. You know, everybody's getting excited about NVIDIA's earnings, which come through on Wednesday. So it's up and down with NVIDIA. I was just looking now, they were up about 1% and now they're down 1%. So you're getting massive volatility, you know, in those markets around the stock. It scares me that it's all around one stock. I must admit, it just makes me very nervous when too much focus is on one company's results.
They'll have to be spectacular to maintain these levels of PE ratios and every other measure that people use. They'll have to. If there's a slight miss, David, then it is vulnerable to a 5 to 10% correction, not in a day, but over a period, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. You know, this is like poor Haaland taking a penalty. You know, you don't expect him to miss, and then one day he misses, then everybody's going to start questioning what's happened to poor man. You know, that's like NVIDIA. It's just, this is it. It's crazy. It's a very good business. They're writing a lot of business. They've got a good product, but sometimes everybody tries to outmaneuver someone else, you know, another analyst in that. So I don't know what, if you told me the results today, okay, and you said to me, listen, I've got an inside track in NVIDIA. Their sales are going to be, 190 billion. I wouldn't know how the market's going to react to
exactly.
it. You know, in other words, for me, they'd be spectacular. But I don't know how the market's going to react. I've got no idea whether that's good or bad. Well, I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting this. It's more than, you know, you can't read this anymore. So you just go with what the traders are building into the algorithm.
Yeah, the market, it does what it wants to do. I mean, so let's use a rather less glamorous example of Absa's results. They were terrible. Share price went up 5% on the day of the results, up 2.5% the day after. You think, what is that? I mean, there could be a blockbuster set of numbers with lots of noughts on the end, and Nvidia could come down 5% because people like Goldman Sachs and all the other massive banks that are in there have sat down and said, we need to see this in order to justify buying this share. And if they don't get it, then they trim it a bit. Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah. No, you're right. So that's why I'm saying, even if I had an inside track, I would be. I have no idea, you know, what the reaction is going to be. So we're in for that period now. You know, we're in, even though we've recovered from a couple of weeks ago, I think markets are twitchy. You know, they're okay. You know, we're coming back now. What are we going to do? What's the next big story? What are we going to focus on? I like where we are. In the sense that, you know, we are now going into a period of rates coming down, and we're going to focus on the economy, focus on getting growth back. And why it's necessary is that this market, if it wasn't for ChatGPT, if it wasn't for the AI releases in November 22, I think we would have had an awful 23 and awful 24. Right up to now, markets would have been, you know, we wouldn't have even been talking. We would have been moaning every week for the last 1.5, almost 2 years. So we were saved by AI, you know, and now I'm hoping we get back to a period where we get global growth, the breadth of the market, you know, the market, sorry, develop some breadth, that there are other stories that we can start to look for. But, you know, we're going to have to wait for that. But at the moment, it's still very much aligned to AI and, you know, one or two other areas. What's the name's a disaster? Yo, this China. I just saw these. I was just looking at I saw this. What's it? PDD, Pinduoduo.
No, I'm not familiar. What is PDD, Pinduoduo?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a Chinese internet business.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was one of these very hot businesses at the time. I think internet, I'm not exactly sure what they do, but I think they provide a lot of services as well. I'll have to look up, but I just saw them down like 25-27% on disappointing earnings, and oh my god, you know, it's another one. So things are not going well there, and we need China back in the mix to keep the global economy going. You know, when I say it's all very well for US to come out of it and Europe and so on, but I think you need Chinese growth as well.
I noticed that a senior Chinese banker left his position today. I don't know if you saw that. Not from the People's Bank of China, not the central bank, but a commercial bank, a very, very big one. And I looked at this and he says he's left for personal reasons. You don't leave for personal reasons in China because it's a sign of weakness. There's no personal reasons. If he's got personal reasons, then the powers that be will say, you are in this position because we put you there and we need you there. Get over your personal reasons, unless you're on your deathbed or something like that. But I just think that there's something a little bit rotten in the Chinese system that we will never hear about, David. Yeah. And again, I'm being it's a horrible generalization based on no fact whatsoever. But just as a sort of a market watcher for a number of years now, it didn't seem right to me.
No, that's what worries me about China. You know, there's so many things that are not going well there. And particularly on the growth side, I know they're trying to pull all kinds of levers, and they, you know what I mean? They're trying to get things going, all dragged down by the property market, and also the way that COVID was treated and the lockdowns and so on. It's never really come back. But it's, you know, it's such a large economy. I mean, it's the second largest in the world. It's what, 16% of total global growth. Yeah, if you put Europe together, I mean, Europe as a whole is much bigger, but still, it's very important in the mix. And I'm a bit concerned. It's taking us down. And it also, you know, these are further evidence of slowdown, of things going wrong there. And then we've got, you know, you've got to watch the commodity market. And, you know, in South Africa, everybody gets carried away with the commodity market. You know, it's bottoming. It's time to go in now. It's this and that. And I'm looking frantically saying, well, give me a sign, you know, give me a sign. Just show me that it is the bottom. And once more, we need the Chinese to come into those markets and give us a bit of a lift as well. But they're not doing that, so.
Okay, have a look at this. Sir Liu Jin, the chairman of Bank of China, has stepped down after more than 3 years in his role, as confirmed by a statement filed by the Shanghai Stock Exchange. It's one of the four major state-owned banks. Okay, so state-owned is the first flag. Yeah. It's not personal reasons. And it says here, before joining Bank of China as vice president and president, he served as the chairman of the China Everbright Bank. It comes at a time of intensified scrutiny and regulatory oversight in China's financial sector as President Xi Jinping continues a widespread anti-corruption campaign that has targeted the country's largest financial institutions, etc., etc. So we know what's happened, David. We're long enough in the tooth to know the signs there.
Yeah, but normally he doesn't resign. He just vanishes.
Exactly. sends a message to his wife, sorry, darling, I might be late for dinner.
Might be late. He got away quite easily, actually.
Not difficult to disappear in China. David, a couple of little companies coming out with results from the JSE, Stadio and Ital Tile. Yeah. And what was the other one? Yeah. There was another one as well. Let me have a quick look.
Ital Tile and
Stadio. And I thought there was another one as well. Advertech, that's the one. Yeah, any of those that you must have glanced. It's your habit to read everything, David. Any of those caught your eye?
We discussed education stocks, I think, last week. Yeah. Both of those came out with trading updates. Very, very good numbers. Solid, you know. And it just shows you my interpretation, of course, is that people are not holding back on education. The company Stadio came out of the Curo camp and, you know, it's offering tertiary education. It's still in the development stages, so it still has to hold back capital, but a good number. People are buying into it. In other words, it's increasing its students. They call them learners here. I don't know where that word comes from, but I can't stand it.
No.
But a learner.
Pupils or learners or students, yes. Yeah, I'm a pupil.
Students or scholars. I mean, that's word been used for since Shakespeare, so I don't know why we have to change it. But anyway, for me, I'll be old school. Students are increasing quite rapidly, and it's a fairly decent. They're giving good numbers. Advocex stands out, and I think simply because I don't think it's held back by the need for capital investment, you know, big capital investment, but good numbers. And I think stand out against a whole series of other companies that have reported. Ital Tile, nothing they can do. No money in this economy, no money being spent on housing, you know, no building taking place. So it does hold them back. And the problem is, as they say, there's a lot of manufacturing taking place, you know, too much supply for too little demand, causing obviously price wars and that. So they're a well-run business, very well-run. But they can't fight the trend in the economy. So down, yeah.
When did you last buy a box of tiles?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No. I haven't, not at all. I'm just trying to think when we've done anything. I haven't done for years, for ages. But there are a lot of people. I'm always amazed when I go in and I've got to buy something. You know, and I'm not a Wayne McCurry. You know, Wayne loves his shops. He can walk around them forever. This is, you know, that in the spur. He loves those kind of things. But I couldn't tell a hammer from a nail. You know, I mean, I wonder how to...
You put him in a motor car spare shop. Yeah, I mean, he'd disappear. You'd be getting these. You have to be putting flyers on lamppost saying missing fund manager. And there's a picture of Wayne. He's still in there wandering around the aisles.
He loves it. Mm. But I have to tell you a funny story. When I was conscripted into the Air Force, you know, we do our basic training, marching around with 303s in these funny overalls, and then you get mustered, you get put out somewhere, you get security guard, airline, a photographer. None of us could get those jobs, so I became a storeman anyway. And the reason I became a storeman is that we all had to do these IQ tests or occupational, I don't know what you call them, like a test.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to do these things, and they had all these tools. You know, what is this? What is that? You know, in other words, you had multiple choice. I had absolutely no idea what anything was. You know, just completely out of my depth. So, I mean, they certainly couldn't put me in a technical training group at all. So that's why I was dispensed to the accounting side.
Quite right too. You've got to know what you're good at and what you're bad at. You know, word? It begins with an M, I think. It's called. Gosh, I can't do it. So anyway, I'm the same. I was watching a film the other night with Clint Eastwood called Gran Torino. A very good film. And he takes this young Korean boy under his wing, and he gets the kid a job at a building site, and he takes him to a hardware shop, and he says, "You're going to need this, which is this, and that, which is that." And I'm looking at all the array of tools and other bits and pieces that are in these hardware stores, and I thought, I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't know what to do. If someone said to me, "Lindsay, put this shelf up, will you? And I'll be back in an hour."
No.
I'd say, "Well, I won't be here, mate. I'm sorry." Yes, it's very difficult. I'm still battling to put petrol in my car, but on my own. David, did you read anything of interest this weekend?
I think, funny enough, I think, as you mentioned, we're in that last period of the holidays, so very little is being covered. You know, there was nothing new. It's it all had to do with Powell and the focus around Powell. But I didn't pick up anything worthwhile, you know, to help. I think we just got to get through the next couple of weeks until we get back into the swing of things. So, it's, I'm just, the volumes must be very low. I'm not changing course. I think the big discussions we have at the moment are concerns about perhaps the pricing of some of the tech shares, the pricing of NVIDIA. I see NVIDIA is under a bit of pressure today. And my big question is, okay, so we sell, what do we do? You know, what do we do?
So you're saying that the opportunity cost of selling NVIDIA and saying, well, we've done really well, it actually starts to weigh on your decision. Because you'll say in 2 weeks' time, oh, look, it's now another couple of percent higher than we sold. And yet we haven't deployed this money anywhere. We haven't put it anywhere because we don't have a better alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm even in the US market, you know, there's nothing that we can guess our way in. You know, in other words, guess, oh, if rates come down, this is where it's going to go and so on. I looked at Walmart's results. I looked at Target's results. I like what we see because I think that people are going to be looking for bargains. I like Costco because I think people are still very conscious of where they're spending their money. And, you know, that is more of an attraction than anything else than saying, oh, we got to buy industrials or infrastructure stocks or anything like that. So that to me poses a problem at the moment. I haven't got any real good ideas. I feel like it doesn't mean I've dismissed the Eli Lillys and Novo Nordisk and some of the other good companies like the some luxury businesses and that. But overall, it's a bit too early to take advantage of rates coming down and saying it's going to go here, it's going to go there. I come back to the commodity side as well, you know, to say, okay, is there something looking interesting there? If rates go down, you know, can we see signs of building taking place? Not yet, Lindsay. So I think that's a little bit of a danger, and it's a bit of a discussion point of what to do if we do take profit. Of course, we're not short of philosophers, you know, in the stock exchange, people who come out with all these different aphorisms and so on. No one's ever lost money taking a profit, you know, that kind of stuff. Or I'd rather have cash than a stock that's going down, you know, that kind of stuff. And I can't live by that, you know. So, nah, give me a switch, man. No, don't give me philosophy.
Okay, so you're not doing anything different. There was nothing that you read over the weekend. The only thing that had really caught my eye politically over the weekend was Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes.
Endorsing Trump. I mean, I saw Trump. Trump didn't seem too enthused, but he said, anyway, you're a fine man, and he's going to have a place in his cabinet if he does get in. But then they gave the microphone to Kennedy. He can't speak properly. I don't know if he's got something wrong with his throat or whatever, but he's riddled with scandals, sexual assault scandals. What is this thing about dumping a bear in Central Park? Have you read that story?
No.
Do you know about the bear in Central Park? I've got to try and find it for you. There are two animal scandals in his life, and he did something. I've got to find it now. While you're sort of philosophizing about other things, I've got to find out about dead bears. Hold on. Wait a second. But his own political career, his poll numbers were plummeting, so he had to do something because he's desperately keen to be in the limelight. And when people see this, anti-Trumpers see this, they say, well, this is it. I mean, it's two complete idiots joining forces. And here we go. No, I've just Googled it. John F. Kennedy bear. A wild story about RFK Jr. and a dead animal has resurfaced. Got to find this because it's a Monday afternoon. The market's very quiet. We've got to see it. And the whole family, I mean, over the years, I mean, John F. Kennedy himself was a fantastic man. And as Trump has said, that he will open all the files on the assassination. He's going to get a special commission going to investigate assassinations. And he's used a chainsaw to cut off the head of a dead whale. That's one thing he's done. As for the bear, I can't. God, hey, I'm going on too much, David. Football over the weekend?
I watched a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I did.
Well done, Arsenal.
It was tense. You know, that they're a good team, Aston Villa. I must say, they will certainly come, you know, within the top five. I think they're very skilled and very good. They miss sitters, but that happens every week. You know, there's somebody going to miss. I don't think anything serious in it. And Arsenal played well. I was just, I'm trying to think who else was there. Liverpool looking okay, but not great. I think they've still got it. Man United was disappointing. Yeah, very disappointing. I know the fans are saying, it'll come right. Chelsea, I just don't know. Still trying to wonder. They seem to have a decent team against Wolves. I don't know where Wolves went. They just went crazy, just crazy. By crazy, I mean it was 2-2. I don't know. They went down 3-2 and then just tried too hard to equalize instead of being steady and playing their good game, you know, a good game and waiting for the opportunities. They went wild and, of course, just left it open for Chelsea to score 6 or an extra 4 in the second half. Yeah, but I enjoyed the weekend, I must say.
It was great. It was great fun. And there's lots. We've got the Champions League draw on Thursday at 5 o'clock, I think, or 6 o'clock our time. So that'll be interesting to see who Arsenal get and City and all that lot. I have to finish this now because it was bugging me. Earlier this month, the 70-year-old Robert F. Kennedy Jr. came clean about taking a dead bear cub from the road and planting it in Central Park in 2014. Ahead of his involvement in the bear story being reported, Kennedy told comedian Roseanne Barr in a video posted on X that he intended to skin the animal and store the meat in his fridge. However, at the encouragement of his friends, he went ahead with the prank in Central Park instead. This is a man that could be serving in the cabinet of, heaven forbid, President Trump's administration. I mean, how bizarre is this? And the other one is that he got a chainsaw and cut the head off a whale and put it in the back of his car. And these have both been verified. This is not just wild X rumours. This is the truth.
What for?
I don't know.
I don't know what kind of a brain he's got. Anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
He can be Trump. He can be on that side. I think a lot happening. I love Trump. He can't take it that Harris is drawing this publicity and drawing this adoration. I'm not contesting on the economic front, but he can't take it. You know, he can't take competition. And when he gets worried, he gets flustered and he starts to just talk and ramble and go on and on. I mean, even boring his loyal supporters, you know, who just say this man's unhinged. So, you know, he's going to unhinge himself. Instead of just fighting it, you know, fighting her on economic policies and other policies, he can't take it that somebody else has got the limelight. And I don't know.
The Harris campaign for the debate on September the 10th, there's two debates, one between the potential presidents and there's the VP debate as well, a week or so later. And the Trump campaign has said, we want Mike to be muted when he's finished answering the question because he can't stop himself. He has to blurt things out and he'll do that while Harris is giving her answer. And he says he cannot concentrate for 1.5 hours on the script that we've given him and he'll make a fool of himself. So that's quite a big thing. And also the other thing is he's 7 points behind in a national poll published this morning in America. 7 points behind. That's a decent amount.
I think he's playing himself out.
You know, he's actually destroying himself and playing into her hands. And he just can't, you know, he's got to let it out, as you say. He can't just keep control and say, okay, how do we fight this, you know, and how do we get back on course? How do we get back using economic policy and trying to attack her on some of her weaknesses? Because some things that she's saying, you know, some of the economic policy, especially over price control, are nonsense and worrisome. But he can't. He's so easy to rattle. And he's been rattled by her youth, you know, and by her appearing on covers and you know, people want to interview her rather than him. So anyway,
yeah, he's falling behind, and he's in danger of losing it. Even the most vehement media fans of his are saying he's losing this election, which is great. Yeah. Oh, that'd be so lovely. Losing two in a row, how fantastic that would be. David, thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
As always, we'll speak again with Viv on Thursday. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. That was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.